Batistiache, welcoming you to Sferio, the local voice of your hemisphere, here on WMBR Cambridge. I said my name, of course, it's Amy, and I'm joined here with the fabulous co-host, Kendra Johnson.
Hi, Amy.
And we've got another hour for you of news and discussion, revolutionary music for you, unas ideas un poco fuera del común y cotidiano, all this lined up for you and more. We're going to be talking with Ricardo Calderón from the Frente Sindical Salvadoreño. And what else are we doing?
Oh, some radialistas.
Radialistas, para variar. Y bueno.
Música.
Música también. So stick around.
But first, of course, we'd like to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT.
Also, you're welcome to call us during the show at 617-253-8810, or you can email us in English, in Spanish, in Portuguese, or even in French at esferio@wmbr.org. And you can catch all of this and all previous shows on the web, too, at the archives section of www.wmbr.org. O-R-G.
Indeed, and also the Sferio archives from even more shows and information is available at web.mit.edu/hemisphere. That's the website of the Western Hemisphere Project here at MIT. ¿Y en español?
Y en español, pues se pueden llamarnos al 617-253-8810. Vamos a estar haciendo un programa acerca, entre otras cosas, de los sindicatos salvadoreños. Y nos pueden mandar email también si quieren a la dirección Sferio, sphero@wmbr.org.
Exactamente, gracias Amy. Y ahora vamos a empezar con un poco de discusión de unas noticias que están pasando ahorita en este mundo. Pues primero lo de aquí, en los Estados Unidos, de energía. There was just energy legislation that was moving through the House and Senate recently and has been successfully pared down to a very, very minimal provisions by oil and utility lobbies, which as someone who cares very much about the climate and the direction it's heading to, and I think all of us in this world do care about the direction that our climate is going to be heading in because it sort of precludes all other issues that we're going to be facing in this world. So it's kind of a shame to see how much the sort of the will of big fossil fuel lobby is actually still holding sway. But there was a legislation that was passed that requires utilities to produce, that was the provision that was stripped out of it. So there was a provision requiring utilities to produce 50% of their electricity from renewable resources that the writers of the bills were fighting to try to keep in, and they were unable to do that in order for the bill to actually be voted on. They had to remove that provision and also remove some other, the more strict provisions. And then it's going to go back to the House now, and it probably will pass. And now it's pared down enough that Bush will actually sign it. So I suppose it's progress. We have some energy legislation that's been passed in this country. But it's pretty sad state.
We must celebrate tiny little advances as we make them. Yeah,
baby steps. Yeah, so there's still, you know, still concerns from the same oil and fossil fuel lobbies, because the bill does require that 36 billion gallons of renewable fuels be blended into gasoline by 2022. So this is a big push for biofuels, which actually raises a lot of concerns about food security and about water resources within the United States as well, that if we want to be moving down a greener future, it might not necessarily be the best way to put all of our eggs in the biofuels basket, as they say. So, and it's an interesting thing, and it definitely shows that we're not ready to be taking the big steps that need to be taken, and that other countries are starting to take. You know,
right.
Netherlands, for example, which of course has good reason to be worried about rising sea levels, as most of their countries actually, or a large percentage of their land is actually below sea level. They're doing really progressive things, and other countries, Germany also. And we're not up there yet, as we can also see by our tactics in Bali. I don't know, Amy, if you want to share any thoughts about that.
As if the non-signing of the Kyoto Treaty was any indication previously, you know.
Right.
What can you say at this point?
Well, the Kyoto countries have now all agreed to, you know, essentially sort of a framework for what to do now that Kyoto's expiring in 2012, and they're going to be going by the UN IPCC report that states that in order to stave off the worst effects of climate change, we need to do, you know, something between 25% and 40% below 1990 levels by 2020. And the United States is uncomfortable with any declaration sort of in this preamble, when they're sort of setting out the framework into which they're going to be negotiating, that has any sort of even a range for what needs to be done by 2020, because that would be prejudicing the debate somehow, or guiding it in one direction, when I think it's a little silly, because that's what the debate is about, right?
That's
the direction that we need to go in for climate change thing. So, you know, there were threats. Europe was going to completely boycott Bush's plans to have sort of a separate summit for the big polluters. And I think that sort of conflict is kind of boiled down, and it looks like they might come to an agreement in these last days, but it's going to be a real sort of watered down agreement, which is really sad.
Yep. As so much of it is.
Aren't we proud? Yeah, it was, I think that one of the neat striking aspects of this was of course, Gore, when he showed up in Bali and said that, you know, because I, paraphrasing here, of course, but because I don't actually have to, you know, I'm not here as a politician or as a representative of the United States, I can say that it is my country that is stalling and causing the lack of progress here right now.
I can say that I'm here as a Nobel Prize winner.
Right, exactly. So, and I think, you know, that sort of a statement really shamed the United States.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it might have done something.
I believe, you know, he went on to say something to the effect of, you know, you should plan on the United States looking very different soon.
Right.
And you should act accordingly.
Right. And to sort of to go ahead without us and leave that very big blank space, which hopefully the next leader of the United States will be able to put the U.S. back in context with the rest of the world. So we hope.
Let's hope,
although I don't know how good prospects are looking for different candidates on their climate change stances, unfortunately.
A saber.
Bueno, pero creo que necesitamos empezar ya con la entrevista, o pronto.
¿Vamos a empezar entonces con la entrevista, o vamos a empezar primero con una musiquita y luego la famosa entrevista?
Muy bien.
Como quieras tú.
Música.
Música, pues sí, música. I should say, you know, Sferio prides itself in bringing out the best of Latino and Latin American music, where we find it on recording, and but we also, as radio, we are required to get you good recordings of music where possible, and so I had this song that we were hoping that we could play earlier, but I didn't have a decent recording of it. So now, it turns out that we have one, in fact, on fabulous 33 RPM format. So we're moving up from one technology to another. This is Luis Enrique Godoy, one of the Nicaraguan performers of Música Comprometida, or Music of the Struggle, from Nicaragua in the 1980s. And this particular song, which is called Amando en Tiempos de Guerra, the name of the album off of which it came, is amazingly still relevant to us today here, Viviendo Como Estamos en Nuestro Tiempo de Guerra. Y se lo dedicamos a todos los luchadores quienes están enfrentando algún conflicto, sea qué tipo de conflicto sea, en el hogar, en el país, en el lugar de trabajo, donde sea. Aquí, con ustedes, Luis Mejía Godoy.
Despertar y romper el bozal y las cadenas es conjugar y sentir el verbo amar sin fronteras, es conseguir que la luna nos dé su pan y su beso. Cuando libremos la tierra del que encarcela los sueños, es escribir en el libro del pueblo con sangre y fuego el nombre de los anónimos forjadores de esta siembra. Es hablar de la esperanza y del amor que nos cuesta hacer crecer en el vientre de la historia nuestra huella. Es la razón, el lenguaje del hombre y su libertad, que aunque tenga que matar, el amor es su objetivo, que el corazón animal que llevo de hombre imperfecto, como un pájaro enrumbado amor, su anidar hacia tu pecho. Por eso he de concluir sin que mi guitarra duerma, que ningún golpe es mortal si no se teme a la muerte, que el desvelo por estar en guardia y en la trinchera es oficio del que ama aún en tiempo de guerra. Son el lenguaje del hombre y su libertad, que aunque tenga que matar, el amor es su objetivo, que el corazón animal que llevo de hombre imperfecto, como un pájaro enrumbado amor, su anidar hacia tu pecho. Por eso he de concluir sin que mi guitarra duerma, que ningún golpe es mortal si no se teme a la muerte, que el desvelo por estar en guardia y en la trinchera es oficio del que ama aún en tiempo de guerra, aún en tiempo de guerra.
sounds of helicopters fading out in the background. Luis Enrique Mejia Godoy. Luis Enrique Mejia Godoy. For you here on Sferio, WMBR Cambridge. You're listening to The Local Voice of your hemisphere, and we are going to jump right from this inspirational music into a very inspirational interview that Sferio was lucky to be able to have the opportunity to do with Ricardo Calderón.
Ricardo.
Ay, Dios mío. Si me estás escuchando. Ricardo Calderón, perdón. He is representative of the Salvadoran Union Front and was recently in the Boston area together with CISPIS, the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador. And they, you know, they do occasional tours with people who have an interesting perspective on things going on in the popular movement in El Salvador, and they bring people here to the U.S. to kind of share views and opinions. So he was with us here in the studio a few weeks ago, and we had the opportunity to do this interview with him. I believe we will play it for you with a few little breaks just to remind you who you're listening to and so on. There's a lot of good stuff in here, so sit back and take a listen. You can call us at 617-253-8810 if you'd like to do that.
And we'd love to hear from you.
Kendra Johnson from Sferio, the local voice of the hemisphere. I'm here today in the studio with Ricardo Calderón and Amy Battisti Ashe.
Woohoo!
We are interviewing with Ricardo, who is here from El Salvador. He's one of the board of He's on the board of directors with the Salvadoran Union Front and is here doing a tour with CISPIS, the committee, what is it, in
the
Solidarity?
Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador.
Indeed. So they are organizing a speaking tour with Ricardo. He is, along with being on the board with the Salvadoran Union Front, he's an activist in the fight against water privatization and for healthcare in El Salvador. So if at any point during this interview you are interested in CISPIS and their work, you can email them at bosscispis, B-O-S-C-I-S-P-E-S, at speakeasy.net or call at 617-576-1709. Bueno, Ricardo, muchas gracias por venir aquí y bienvenido al programa de Sferio.
Gracias también por darme esta oportunidad de comunicarle a la comunidad hispana y a todos aquellos, aquellas salvadoreñas y salvadoreñas que se encuentran aquí en Boston, traerles, digamos, una realidad que se presenta en nuestro país. Así que estamos en una gira y esta es la ciudad que estamos en este momento para poder compartir sobre los impactos que tiene la sociedad salvadoreña.
Thank you so much, Kendra, for inviting me to this show. It's a great honor to be able to be here and be able to share what's going on with our situation. We are on tour, and so it's good to be able to come into town and connect with the Latino community, with Salvadorans, men and women, and other people who might be interested in hearing what we have to say.
Thank you. Ricardo, could you tell me first a bit about yourself, your role in the Salvadoran Union Front, and why you're here in the United States?
Bueno, Ricardo, si podríamos empezar primero con un poquito acerca de su rol, ¿verdad?, en el Frente Sindical Salvadoreño, y qué hacen ustedes y qué hace usted participando en ese grupo.
Bueno, sí,
grupo.
El Frente Sindical Salvadoreño está constituido alrededor de 10 a 12 organizaciones sindicales, que es, digamos, producto de tener una agenda común de trabajo y de reconocer los problemas que tiene, en este caso, el país, el tema económico, el tema político y el tema social. Así de que, como sector sindical, también concurrimos a un grupo mayor, llamémoslo así, es un grupo de los otros distintos sectores del país que estamos tratando de impactar en este caso para poder hacer los cambios que necesita el país. Estamos involucrados con el sector agropecuario, por ejemplo, sector cooperativas, profesionales, progresistas y cooperativas y otras organizaciones sociales. Y eso hace un gran esfuerzo de coyuntura y de alianza que se presenta en este momento en el país.
Well, we are in the United Front, in the Salvadoran United Workers Front, I think is a better translation, maybe. We are a group of 10 to 12 different unions, and we all are working for a common agenda, specifically focusing on the problems that we find currently facing El Salvador, economic, political, social problems. And we work together as a larger group with other sectors of the country to produce positive change, and that includes the professional sector, agropecuary, which is, you know, agricultural and fish sector, the co-ops, the progressives, and other social movements, all of us coming together to form an alliance to basically create a better El Salvador.
Ricardo, tell me some about the situation right now in El Salvador and what are the things that this group is fighting for that aren't existing right now in El Salvador?
Bien, Ricardo, si nos podría decir un poquito acerca de la situación corriente en El Salvador y para qué están luchando ustedes, qué es que necesitan que no se encuentra hoy en día.
Bueno, para como movimiento sindical reconocemos dos situaciones muy, muy delicadas. El aspecto económico, cómo está afectando a la sociedad, a las familias salvadoreñas, y también, de alguna manera, la represión que se ha estado dando últimamente a las organizaciones sociales.
So, we, as a union movement, we've identified two primary issues that we are particularly concerned about today. One is the economic situation of the country and how that is affecting families, and secondarily, repression, specifically of social movements. And obviously how that's affecting us as well.
Particularmente en el tema económico y social, esto tiene mucho que ver con la firma del Tratado de Libre Comercio el año pasado y puesto en práctica hace un año atrás.
Specifically, when we look at economic and social issues, we have to link it back to the signing of the Free Trade Agreement, CAFTA, which was signed and then put into practice a year ago.
Esto, pues claro, trae, digamos, ganadores y perdedores, pero generalmente los ganadores son las grandes empresas y las transnacionales, y los grandes perdedores es la población.
And obviously, you know, when you sign something like that, there are winners and losers, but usually the winners in this case turn out to be the multinationals, and the losers tend to be the population.
El gobierno de El Salvador prometió con la puesta en práctica del TLC, 70,000 nuevos puestos de trabajo, situación que no se ha dado en el país.
The government promised that when they brought free trade into existence that there would be 70,000 new jobs created, which of course has not actually happened.
Al contrario, el desempleo ha aumentado en el orden de un 10%.
In fact, the unemployment rate has actually increased by about 10%.
Y el sector, sí, el sector informal que ha estado perdiendo sus puestos permanentes realmente anda por el orden del 50% de aquella población urbana ocupada. O sea, mucha gente que vende en las calles buscando el sustento de sus familias.
And in fact, the informal sector, which is an area where that a lot of people depend on, it has been an I don't know how to say this part, Kendra. Can we like start?
You're listening to WMBR Cambridge 88.1. It's Sferio, the local voice of your hemisphere.
Que el del sector informal, que sí. 50% que es, fue.
Ha crecido en un 50%.
Que ha crecido.
De la población, digamos, ocupada urbana.
Ajá. Mm. So that the informal sector has essentially grown by 50%. Yeah. And that is, generally speaking, not sufficient employment for people to live off of.
Para resumir, en este aspecto económico, la economía de Salvador no ha crecido.
So just to sum up the economics of it, the Salvadoran economy has not grown.
El déficit comercial es cada vez más grande.
And the commercial deficit is even bigger today than it was before.
Los niveles de desempleo e informalidad aumentan.
And the levels of unemployment and the level of informal work both have grown.
Y muy particularmente se presentan los procesos de privatización de la salud y del agua.
And very specifically what we're seeing is a process of privatizing both the health services and access to water.
Hay un elemento muy importante. Debido a la falta de oportunidades, alrededor de 900 salvadoreños emigran a otros países. Cada semana.
Cada semana. Sí. And there is a figure that's worth mentioning here. We now know that about 900 Salvadorans are emigrating to other countries every week now as a result of some of these situations.
Esto significa que la riqueza se ha concentrado en unos pocos y no favorece al pueblo.
Which, well, all of this indicates, you know, that the gains, financial gains, are really concentrated in the hands of very few and that they're not reaching the rest of the public.
Otra situación que se presenta, como lo dije al principio.
Another thing that that I mentioned is another situation that has come up.
Es el aumento de la represión y la militarización en el país.
Is the increase in repression and the militarization that we've seen in our country.
Muy particularmente en julio de este año, en Suchitoto fueron capturados 14 compañeros, 14 líderes sindicales.
And especially we're looking at July in Suchitoto. There were 40 union leaders who were captured and arrested.
Aplicándoles la ley antiterrorismo.
And they were essentially arrested under the anti-terrorist law.
Los procesos de estos compañeros todavía se encuentran pendientes. Ellos han salido de la cárcel, pero sus procesos siguen.
And their situations are still, they're in process. They've all been released from jail, but their cases are still pending.
Y Ricardo, what exactly were they accused of? What was their crime?
Ajá, y Ricardo, si podríamos revisar un poco, ¿qué fue exactamente que supuestamente hicieron esos compañeros? ¿Qué fue el crimen que cometieron?
De acuerdo.
Right.
Como bien lo mencionamos, el tema de privatizaciones, ellos hacían una manifestación pacífica en Suchitoto.
Well, as we were talking about, there was this issue of privatization of water, and so they had a peaceful demonstration in Suchitoto.
Porque en ese lugar, el presidente de la República iba a anunciar la reforma al proceso de la privatización del agua.
Because this was where the president was going to actually go and make a formal announcement about the privatization of water.
De una manera muy abrupta, tanto la PNC como el ejército reprimió a la población y a los manifestantes con balas de goma y gases lacrimógenos.
And what happened was a very sudden and abrupt attack on the protesters by the PNC, the National Police, with rubber bullets and with tear gas.
Exacto. Y en el tema de la salud, por ejemplo, recientemente fueron capturados 8 compañeros del sistema de salud, sindicalistas también.
And recently, in health privatization, we had 8 compañeros also from the union movement who were as well captured for.
¿Qué estaban haciendo?
And what were they doing?
Se estaban manifestando en contra de la privatización de la salud.
They were protesting against the privatization of healthcare.
Denunciando dos aspectos muy fundamentales: la corrupción de funcionarios del Ministerio de Salud y también la falta de medicinas en los hospitales.
And they were specifically criticizing two particular things. One, the corruption of the Minister of Health and his department, and the other, just the general lack of medicine available to the public.
Protestar por eso es terrorismo.
So
yo no lo creo.
Is protesting for that sort of thing terrorism? I don't think so.
Entonces eso ha empeorado porque recientemente han sido asesinados 2 compañeros sindicalistas.
And in fact, the repression has just gotten worse. 2 of our union brothers and sisters were actually recently assassinated. Sí.
Esto nos preocupa porque se están dando los mismos elementos que producieron la guerra en el pasado.
And these are the things that worry us because these are the same types of elements that led to the war in previous years.
Adicionalmente, la Asamblea de El Salvador, la Asamblea Legislativa, aprobó el texto de la ILEA.
And in addition to all of this, the National Legislative Assembly, which is the national, you know.
Y según lo que tenemos entendido, es que están preparando técnicamente y capacitando a la PNC y al ejército para reprimir.
So the National Legislative Assembly, which is the main governmental body of El Salvador, has in fact approved the text of the what's known as ILEA, which is the International Law Enforcement Academy, essentially agreeing to develop a school for the police
And that it's Kendra, now training the police in these repressive techniques.
Yeah, you've heard a little bit more about that than I have. So.
Técnicamente hablando, pues, podemos ver que esos dos son los elementos fundamentalmente que es, están impactando a la sociedad.
So
el tema económico, social, y el tema de represión.
So we can see, kind of summing up, that those two elements are really big issues that are facing our society right now, the economic, social elements, and as well the repression of the popular movement.
So Ricardo, what, you know, coming up against all of this repression and all of these things that is apparent that the people of El Salvador want to be fighting for, what sort of techniques are you using, or what kind of organizing is going on to try to fight against this repression and bring about some of the changes you're seeing?
Entonces, Ricardo, dado toda esa represión, ¿cuáles son las técnicas que están utilizando ustedes en el Frente Sindical Salvadoreño? ¿Cuáles son las maneras que están organizando al pueblo?
Bueno, el reconocer la protesta, que aunque se criminalice por medio de la ley antiterrorismo, no hemos parado de hacer nuestras marchas y nuestras protestas en las calles.
Well, first of all, in terms of protesting, even though it's being criminalized by this anti-terrorism law, we have not stopped doing our protests, taking our protests to the streets.
También hemos buscado en la Asamblea Legislativa audiencias necesarias para escuchar nuestras propuestas, nuestras piezas de correspondencia para modificar y derogar las leyes represivas.
And we have, in addition, been looking for hearings at the legislative assembly level so that our concerns can be heard and that we can bring forth proposals for dealing with the repression.
Informamos a la gente y estamos haciendo la denuncia nacional, pero también la denuncia internacional ante la OIT.
And so we are trying to make sure that everybody knows about what's going on. We give, you know, information on a national level, but also we're denouncing this on an international level at the International Trade Organization.
Y estamos buscando la solidaridad con otros países y con otros pueblos para que también se manifiesten este tipo de denuncias.
And we are looking for international solidarity with people from around the world so that they too will stand up and denounce this kind of behavior.
Esencialmente también aquí en los Estados Unidos ya hemos platicado en esta misma gira con congresistas para evitar que se mande el dinero para continuar con la ILEA.
And specifically on this tour that we're doing right now here in the United States, we've been talking with congresspeople to see if we can't prevent money from being sent in support of the ILEA.
Y ya tuvimos respuesta de algunos congresistas que posiblemente en enero o febrero del otro año van a llegar a El Salvador para constatar, para observar de primera mano y también para apoyarnos.
And we have actually heard already from some congresspeople who have said that they're interested in coming to El Salvador probably in January or February to see for themselves what is exactly going on and hopefully be able to support us further.
Eso
at that point.
Se vuelve muy importante y muy positivo para nuestra lucha.
And that, of course, is a very positive and important step for our fight.
This is Ferio, the local voice of our hemisphere. You're listening here on WMBR Cambridge, and we are listening to an interview we conducted a few weeks back with Ricardo Calderon, who is an activist in El Salvador, and he's speaking about his struggles and his trip here to the United States to get United States Congress people to start to take action for on some of the ways the United States is involved in promoting the repression that's happening in El Salvador. So we'll return to that interview in a few minutes, but first we're going to continue the commemoration of December 1st and World AIDS Day by playing another different Radialistas piece about HIV.
Radialistas Apasionados y Apasionadas is an organization that brings you previously recorded free spots, which we bring to you here at Sferio in Spanish, in their original Spanish, and we then translate them for you as well. Dale.
Dale.
Ahí vamos.
Tengo 55 años y llevo casada desde los 20. Él ha sido el único hombre de mi vida. Yo sabía que él era mujeriego, bebedor, y cuando se lo reclamaba, él me decía: no te preocupes, ninguna de esas está a tu altura. Tú eres el amor de mi vida. Y ese amor me lo pagó infectándome de VIH.
La mitad de personas que viven en el mundo con VIH son mujeres, la mayoría de ellas infectadas por sus parejas.
Sé valiente, protégete. Yo nunca pensé que esto me podía pasar a mí.
I'm 55 years old. I've been married since I was 20. He was the only man in my life. I knew he was a womanizer and a drunkard. When I complained, though, he told me, don't worry, none of them could ever be the caliber that you are. You're the love of my life. And he proved that to me by giving me HIV.
Half of the people living with HIV today are women, and the majority of them were infected by their partners.
Be strong. Protect yourself. I never thought this could happen to me.
And none of us ever think that it could happen to us. So, everyone, protect yourself, know your status, and be aware that HIV is indeed a growing problem in the United States and in the rest of the world.
Y así es, mi gente. Bueno.
Ahora seguimos con la entrevista, digo yo.
Seguiremos con la entrevista. Hemos estado escuchando las voces de Ricardo Calderón, representante del Frente Sindicalista Salvadoreño, y Kendra Johnson haciendo la entrevista con él. Y la traductora soy yo misma, Amy Batistiache. Vamos a seguir ahora con esto. Si tiene algún comentario o pregunta, pueden llamarnos al 617-253-8810.
So, Ricardo, one thing that United States, I think, and citizens of the United States are becoming more and more aware of is sort of the image that other countries have about the United States, and maybe that there's a lot of truth in what they think about the United States' policies as a country. So I'm wondering what your sense is of what the general population of El Salvador, what do they think about the United States and these policies and about Americans?
Ricardo, una cosa que me parece que ha estado cambiando aquí en los Estados Unidos y dentro de lo que somos los ciudadanos de este país, es un reconocimiento de la imagen que los demás gentes, los demás países tienen de nosotros y tienen de nuestra política aquí, o sea, la política estadounidense, ¿no?, contra los demás países. Y entonces me pregunto, ¿Qué piensan los salvadoreños de las pólizas, ¿no?, hoy uh-huh. en día que tienen los Estados Unidos?
Bueno, quisiera manifestarlo de esta manera.
Well, I would like sí. to I'd like to put it forth this way, I think.
Yo creo que hay gente muy importante en la sociedad civil estadounidense.
I think there are important people, you know, involved in the what we call the civil society in the
y quizás
U.S.
quizás ellos no tengan la culpa, sino and que son las políticas directamente del gobierno de Bush.
And perhaps, you know, people at that level aren't really the guilty ones. Instead, it's more likely to be the politicians, the people at George Bush's level in his cabinet.
Eso lo tiene claro la población salvadoreña.
And I think that the Salvadoran people, you know, we have that clear in our minds.
Y esperaría una menor Mm-hmm. interferencia a nuestras políticas salvadoreñas.
And as a result, I think, you know, we'd wish for a little less U.S. involvement in our affairs.
Perhaps. Sí, tomar un carácter neutral.
You know, to take sort of a more neutral position.
Esa es la intención de la población de cara a las futuras elecciones que se presentan, por ejemplo, que hay una muy buena esperanza de cambio de estas cosas.
And I think that that's something mm-hmm. that we're looking for in terms of, you know, any future elections coming up, is that there might be some positive change in that direction.
Esa es mi apreciación en cuanto a cómo ve El Salvador las políticas. Sabemos que son los políticos, no es la sociedad.
Uh-huh. I mean, that's my, you know, mm-hmm. review of it. I think that we're aware that it's the politicians and not necessarily the American people.
Sí. Ricardo, you mentioned that the hope that you and the Union Front have for upcoming elections. Can you tell me a little bit about when those elections are and how open or how fair do you perceive the electoral process to be in El Salvador? And so, you know, where is that hope in those elections?
We're talking about national elections, right, Kendra, in El Salvador?
Ricardo, queríamos preguntarle, porque habíamos hablado un ratito de las esperanzas que tienen ustedes, que tiene el Frente Sindical, acerca de las elecciones nacionales que vienen uh-huh. pronto, ¿no?, en El Salvador. Quisiéramos saber cuándo va a ser eso y cuáles son las esperanzas que tienen ustedes para esas elecciones. Y además, ¿cómo les parece si hay posibilidad de que puedan ser elecciones transparentes y justos, ¿no?
Bueno, sí, las elecciones se van a correr en enero y marzo del 2009.
Well, the elections will be held in January and March of 2009.
La primera fecha es para alcaldes y diputados.
The first date in January is actually for the mayoral and essentially like state representative level.
Y las de marzo son las presidenciales.
And then March is the presidential elections.
¿Cuál es nuestra esperanza como organizaciones sindicales? Lo voy a decir de esta manera.
Sí. Our concerns, our hopes as a union organization, I'll put it out like this.
Sí, creemos que se presenta una esperanza muy importante para los cambios de las políticas en El Salvador.
We feel like there's very much hope for a big change in terms of politics in El Salvador.
Quizás de lo que estamos seguros es que la población ya no soporta estas políticas actuales.
And I think that we're pretty sure that people just don't support the current policies.
Y creemos que sí requieren un cambio.
And we do think that, you know, a change is necessary.
Sí, de nuestra parte, entonces, estamos haciendo una alianza con los distintos sectores de la sociedad para trasladar una posición, una política general.
Mm-hmm. And this is why we're working together with people from other sectors of the country to see if we can't put together a larger platform, I guess you could say.
Y eso vamos a trasladárselo en este caso al FMLN.
Mm-hmm. And this is a platform that we're going to essentially present to the FMLN.
Ellos recientemente han abierto un espacio de diálogo social abierto.
Uh-huh. The FMLN has actually just recently begun what we call space for open dialogue, social dialogue.
Y sabemos que nuestra agenda es muy coincidente a sus agendas.
Mm-hmm. And we know that our agenda actually coincides pretty well with what the FMLN is interested in.
Entonces estamos trabajando en una mesa temática laboral para presentarle a la fórmula presidencial nuestras propuestas como trabajadores.
So we've been working together with them to see if we can't come up with a more complete platform of recommendations from workers that could be presented for the FMLN's platform. Sí.
Y si lo vemos de manera general, hay otros sectores que están haciendo exactamente lo mismo.
And if we look sort of generally at what's happening across the country, we can see that in other sectors the same type of thing is happening.
Sí, creemos que se presenta una muy buena oportunidad.
And we do think, you know, that there's a very good opportunity coming up for us.
Es necesario una alternancia en el poder.
It's definitely time for a change in who has the power.
Pero también de nuestra parte como sociedad debemos de construir ese poder social para acompañar los cambios.
But we also know that as members of society that we need to be active in working to change what happens in society.
También sabemos y tenemos claros que en un primer periodo no van a darse todos los cambios necesarios.
And we also know and we're aware that you can't expect to have all of the changes that are needed in society to happen all at once.
Pero sabemos de que en la misma medida se avance, se va a ir transformando esta sociedad.
But we also know that as we move forward, that we will similarly be able to transform society.
Como decimos nosotros, ahora les toca a los pobres.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And, you know, what we say amongst ourselves is now it's the poor people's time.
Sí.
Ricardo, do you look to any other countries in Latin America as sort of role models in this sort of transition? Do you see inspiration from changes that have happened in other Latin American countries recently?
Y Ricardo, ustedes buscan inspiración, buscan esperanza en las luchas de otros países. ¿Han visto ustedes cualquier momento, vamos a decir, como indicativo, que da esperanza en lo que ha estado pasando en los otros países latinoamericanos hoy en día?
Exactamente, hay una situación de, digamos, de vientos de cambio, llamémosle así.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, I think we could definitely talk about a situation of, you know, winds of change coming through.
Y yo creo que esos vientos de cambio están dando precisamente la pauta para transformar nuestras sociedades.
And I think that these winds of change are really giving us the option to begin to change our societies.
Recientemente estuve en Costa Rica por el referéndum del no al TLC.
Del no
al TLC.
Ajá, okay.
So I was recently in Costa Rica, specifically for the international referendum, which was no to free trade.
Lamentablemente se dieron situaciones muy penosas y de fraude.
Mm. Unfortunately, there were a number of situations there, very sad and upsetting situations people talked about, and fraud as well.
Así como la intervención y el atemorización a la sociedad por parte de un anuncio del gobierno de Bush.
Specifically uh-huh. relating to an announcement that Bush's government had made that involved a lot of intimidation.
Lamentablemente el TLC pasó en Costa Rica.
Unfortunately, as you know, the free trade agreement did pass in Costa Rica.
Pero se ha producido una efervescencia social
But
de resistencia.
There has been a real effervescence on a social level of resistance that has grown up from that.
Y de esa manera tenemos Ecuador, tenemos Bolivia uh-huh. y otros cambios que se están dando de manera muy importante and y de mucho ejemplo para nosotros.
In that same way, we've seen what's been going on in Ecuador and in Bolivia as exemplary situations for us as well.
Posiblemente Guatemala transite por eso. Recientemente han tenido un cambio de gobierno. Esperemos que eso uh-huh. sea bueno para Guatemala.
And it's possible that, uh-huh. that Guatemala might be going through the same thing. They've recently had a change of government as well, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
De todas maneras, los cambios de gobierno siempre requieren de un poder social, de una base.
And at any rate, the changes in government, you know, they always require a strong social base to work from.
Nadie gobierna con alguien que lo respalde.
There's nobody who manages to govern without anybody kind of backing them up. Right?
Entonces tenemos claridad nosotros de que debemos de construir ese poder social para acompañar el gobierno que mm-hmm. queremos.
So we know, you know, we have it clear in our minds that we need to really be able to build that social power so that we're ready to support whatever government we want to bring forth.
Ese es nuestro trabajo en yeah. este momento y esperamos lograrlo.
And that's really our work for right now, and you know, we hope to be able to achieve it.
Porque queremos un gobierno y un El Salvador diferente para nuestra gente.
Uh-huh. Because we want to see a different government and a different El Salvador for our people.
Ricardo, what role do you see for citizens of the United States if they're listening to this interview and become inspired to work with you in this fight? Is there something that we can do?
Ricardo, ¿cuál rol ven ustedes para los norteamericanos que o estadounidenses que quizás estarán en sintonía con nosotros hoy, que estén participando en nuestra charla aquí, cómo podríamos nosotros apoyarles en su lucha?
Bueno, primeramente despertar ese interés.
Well, the first thing I think is to kind of, you know, wake up the interest in it.
Quizás al despertar ese interés también despertar el valor de la solidaridad.
And maybe in the process of kind of awakening that interest, you also manage to awaken solidarity.
No dudo que muchos estadounidenses están interesados de lo que pasa en Latinoamérica.
And I do not doubt that there are many Americans who are in fact interested in what's going on in Latin America today.
Pero hablar particularmente del Salvador, sí tenemos un referente acá.
Uh-huh. But when we talk specifically about El Salvador, you know, we do have a specific reference point here as well.
Ese es CISPES, y hemos tenido siempre el apoyo de ellos.
And that is CISPES, the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador. And we've always enjoyed the support of that group.
Por lo tanto, eso es lo que pedimos, o sea, interesarse mm-hmm. en la información, solidarizarse con el pueblo salvadoreño, y si es posible apoyar con recursos porque son necesarios.
Sí, and so for that reason, you know, that's really what we look for, is to ask people to get interested, to find out about what's going on, to show support for the people of El Salvador, to be in solidarity with the people of El Salvador, and whenever it's possible to provide support in the form of resources, that's always necessary.
Yeah.
Cierto.
Well, thank you, Ricardo, so much for joining us. I know that we here on Sferio will be following your struggle from afar and reporting on it as we can to our listeners.
Pues, Ricardo, queríamos decirle de todo el corazón muchísimas gracias de parte de nosotras aquí en WMBR y específicamente en nuestro programa de Sferio. Sabemos que vamos a estar siempre compartiendo la lucha de ustedes, siguiendo. Estoy inventando palabras aquí, Kendra. Siguiendo, quiero decir yo, la lucha de ustedes y viendo cómo podemos apoyarles siempre.
Sí. Bueno, agradecer por el tiempo que nos dan en este radio, este importante radio.
Well, I thank you so much for the time that you've given us here, this important radio.
sabemos, sí, particularmente de que esto va a llegar a mucha población.
And I know, you know, in particular that we're going to be able to have this conversation,
sí,
go out to many people.
Y sé que va a despertar mucho interés con esta visita que estamos mm-hmm. haciendo.
And I hope that we'll be able to, you know, really raise a lot of awareness and interest in what we're talking about.
Hay mucha gente comprometida y particularmente ustedes porque despiertan ese interés por las informaciones de suma importancia que desconocen. Tanto los latinos, la comunidad latina, como los mismos norteamericanos. Agradecer
too.
De todo corazón también este tiempo y gracias por ser ustedes las personas muy amables.
Ay, qué lindo. I know too that you know there are plenty of people who are committed to the struggle and not just the Latin American struggle, but you know that are committed to the struggle in general and especially just wanted to thank you for your beautiful time here with us.
And thank you. Once again, we'd like to remind our folks that Ricardo was telling us about CISPIS, the Committee in Solidarity with the People of El Salvador, and they have a very active Boston chapter here. So if you're interested in information about that, there's a CISPIS website that sort of at the national level. And to get in touch with the local Boston chapter, their phone number is 617-576-1709, and their email is bosscispes, BOSCISPES, at speakeasy.net.
Una vez más, queríamos repasar un poquito para nuestros oyentes que nos están escuchando en español, ¿no? Que existe una organización aquí que hemos tenido en Boston durante mucho tiempo que se llama el Comité en la Solidaridad con El Salvador, con el pueblo salvadoreño, supongo yo, que se llama CISPES en inglés. Y ellos tienen, además de un grupito de gente aquí en Boston, hay varios grupos a través de todo el país. Y si tienen interés ustedes, se puede buscar información a través de el correo electrónico. Que la dirección de ellos es esa es la dirección electrónica, ¿no? vozcispes@speakeasy.net, que se deletrea speakeasy.net. Lo que no me recordaba Kendra era el número de teléfono de ellos.
El número de teléfono es 617-576-1709.
Y le agradecemos mucho a la gente de CISPES por habernos dado la oportunidad de hablar aquí con Ricardo Calderón. Muchísimas gracias.
Gracias a ustedes.
La sangre de los valientes, nuestra tierra inundará, sus rostros siempre presentes. Nuestro pueblo llorará, 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 con su cuerpo desgarrado llorará, 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 con su cuerpo desgarrado llorará. De ansiada venganza en nuestra tierra vivir, recobran hoy la esperanza en el cañón de un fusil. El indio Anastasio Aquino y Farabundo Martí nos trazaron el camino y ahora vamos a seguir. Banderas de rebeldía, los opresores caerán y la extranjera agonía nuestro pueblo destruirá,
destruirá, destruirá. Con su puño de combate destruirá, destruirá, destruirá. Con su puño de combate destruirá. amaneciendo ya el día, sol rojo de redención, a reconstruir la alegría, brota la nueva canción. Lágrimas por los caídos, abonarán los sembrados, nuestros ideales prohibidos, florecerán liberados. La armadura libertaria, nuestro pueblo vestirá, patria revolucionaria, nuestro pueblo construirá, 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 con su brazo de hombre nuevo construirá, 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 con su brazo de hombre nuevo construirá.
Música revolucionaria de Yolo Kamba Ita, un grupo de músicos del Salvador de los años 70, aquí con ustedes otra vez en la memoria en WMBR. You're listening to Yolo Kamba Ita. This is Sferio, the local voice of our hemisphere, winding up with you after our interview with Ricardo Calderon from El Salvador. We bring you a few announcements for the rest of your week.
Absolutely. Actually, starting in a half an hour at 7:30 p.m. at the Lucy Parsons Center, which is at 549 Columbus Avenue, there's going to be a discussion of the EZLN 6th Declaration. So that's the Zapatistas' declaration about their sort of stance on a whole bunch of things. And it's a really interesting document. And that's going to be a discussion happening 7:30 p.m. tonight, Lucy Parsons Center.
In addition to that, also tonight, if you'd like to do something a little bit more party-oriented and less political-oriented, you can join Clandestino, the Latino party organization of the Boston area. We'll be doing a Brazilian party today. And where will they be? Hold on one second. And they're going to be together at the Shine Club, which is in Kendall Square. One Kendall Square, not terribly far from the fabulous WMBR MIT radio station. The band will be playing, band Os Patrões do Groove will be playing covers from famous Brazilian pop bands like Os Paralamas and Skanky, Pato Fu, a whole bunch of people. Should be a good lot of fun. And that is happening tonight, 9 p.m.
And then tomorrow, there's a discussion at Encuentro Cinco at 7 p.m. about the referendum in Venezuela, which, of course, by a narrow margin, was voted against by the people of Venezuela. And so it's a sort of a discussion of whether this is a victory for democracy or a defeat of socialism, or where what does this actually mean? That's 7 p.m. in Encuentro Cinco, which is located in Chinatown, 33 Harrison Avenue, 5th floor in Boston. And of course, we'd like to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT. And this has been a episode of Sferio, the local voice of our hemisphere.
Stay tuned now for
Music for Human Beings. Thank you.
se esparcen por todos lados y los gritos no se callan. Huelgas, manifestaciones, consignas que se levantan, porque si de paz se trata, todo el pueblo se agiganta. Vamos a la calle de mando, vamos a